Reading from the New American Standard Version, Exodus 33, verses 12 through 16. Hear God's word. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, and that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this, your word. We pray that you'd be pleased to open our hearts to it. And we ask, Father, that we might see in your word that your vital presence in our midst is that which in the end distinguishes us from all other people on the face of the earth. We thank you that this is your promise to dwell with us and in us. And we thank you that that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so, work out this idea in our hearts as we look into the text this afternoon, that it is the presence of Christ that marks us from all others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are theologically inclined, well, some of you would be theologically inclined. If you would be theologically inclined, and I were to ask you the question, what are the marks of the true church, you would no doubt answer in this fashion. The marks of the true church are the true preaching of the Word of God, the right administration of the sacraments, and the use of church discipline within the church. Church discipline. These would be the three marks of the church. And it's striking that when we come to this idea that these marks of the church have to do with what we do. I think you follow me in this. That these true marks of the church have to do with certain things that we do as the church that distinguish us from the rest of the world and from other denominations, congregations, what have you. But when we look at the text that's before us in Exodus 33, it's pretty plain that the distinguishing mark of the church is the presence of God, the presence of the Lord, the presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of his people. And so we have these two things that at first seem to be in tension. Who it is that dwells in our midst and what we do as the people of God. And we should understand that these two things are actually not in tension, that the one follows the other, that the presence of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ brings us to do certain things and to live in a certain way. And as I listened to your pastor's sermon this morning, I thought to myself, I could be in trouble here because the emphasis was rightly so from the text on being a praying people, and prayer in accordance with the Word of God is a distinguishing characteristic of the people of God. And so your pastor from the text was rightly exhorting you to a life of prayer. But now, this was from Daniel 9. And as you examine the life of Daniel, what you realize is that Daniel had a profound vision of the Lord and what the Lord was doing in his time. And because Daniel had this profound vision of the Lord and what the Lord was doing in his time, he was driven to earnestly pray with regard to the circumstances of his people. And this was brought out in the morning sermon also. We see that this idea of God dwelling in our midst is principal, and the fact that he dwells in our midst and reveals himself drives us to live in a different manner and in a different way. And so the burden of the message this afternoon is, I'm changing the main idea just a little bit. The burden of the sermon this afternoon is for you to realize that the profound, distinctive characteristic, the profound mark of the Church of Jesus Christ is the presence of Christ in her midst. That the profound mark of you and your church is Jesus Christ in your midst. Well, let's look at the text now a little bit and see how this point emerges. First of all, we see that the Lord, even in Exodus chapter 33, presents himself in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 in the text, Moses said to the Lord. Moses said to the Lord. The word Lord is in all caps, correct? I think this is true in your Bible. It's in all caps because in the original language, in the Hebrew text, it's a translation of Jehovah or Yahweh, as the more modern commentators put it. And you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The confession that Jesus is Lord goes back to this idea embedded in Exodus 33 and verse 12. The idea of Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord incarnate. Jesus Christ is the divine person walking in this world as he was born into this world and as he lived in this world. And to confess Jesus as Lord, you see, is to confess him as the God of the Bible. The God in human form. And so, I would say there's an allusion here, at least, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, along with this, look at verses 14 and 15. And he said, that is Moses, God said, at verse 14, and he said, that is, God said, my presence, the Lord said, my presence shall go with you. And then in verse 15, and he said to him, that is Moses, replied to the Lord, if your presence does not go up with us, do not lead us from here. The word presence in the English version is, in the original language, the word face. It's kind of interesting. My face shall go with you. Now, when you think about this a little bit, when someone stands in your presence, you children, when your father stands in your presence, or you stand in the presence of your father, it's face to face, right? This is the idea. And this is what the text is telling us, that the presence of the Lord is face to face. And this is the prayer of Moses. If your presence, if you do not go with us face to face, do not go up with us. Do not lead us up from here. This is the idea in the text. And interestingly enough, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says something like this. He says, "The God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." How do you see the glory of God? It is in the face of Jesus Christ. This is how the great God of heaven manifests himself. This is how the great God of heaven interfaces with the likes of you and me. It is through the second person of the Trinity, through Jesus Christ the Lord. And so what we have is that the Lord presents himself in Jesus Christ. And this is the case I'm beginning to argue here, is that Jesus Christ is presenting himself to Moses. And so it is then that none other than Jesus Christ goes with you. Verses 12 and 13. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider also that this nation is your people." Moses had a big question. Who are you sending with me and with this people as we depart from Sinai and go into the promised land? Who is it that you are going to send with me? And Moses argues a case here. He says in verse 13, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight." The word favor is grace. And if you have the New King James or the King James Version, it's translated grace. If I have found grace in your sight, unmerited favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. It's striking, isn't it? Moses already knows the Lord. And Moses is in essence saying, "I want to know more, Lord. I want to grow in grace." And, of course, this is the proper posture of an individual like you or like me before the Lord. A desire to grow in grace, to know more, to have more of that same grace. "I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find grace in your sight." More grace. "Consider, too, that this nation is your people." You see here, too, that this is not just an individual affair. It's not just that we should look at the text and you should look at the text on an individualistic basis. This is a corporate matter. This is a matter that involves God's people as a whole. This is a matter that involves the church, the congregation, the people of God. And the question is, who are you going to send with me? Well, if you glance up to verse 2 in chapter 33, God says, "I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, and Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite," all the ites he's going to drive out. And I'm going to send an angel. before you. In chapter 32, the answer is, I'm going to send my angel before you. It's a little bit more definite. And if you turn back to chapter 3, just momentarily, turn in your Bibles or on your iPhone, go to 3:2 in Exodus. Exodus 3:2. The angel is identified a little bit more specifically. The angel, Exodus 3:2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not burning. The burning bush. And the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight, this wonderful sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Who was in that burning bush? The Lord himself. God called to him from out of the midst of the burning bush. Verse 2 again, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a burning bush. Who is this angel? This angel is none other than the Lord himself. Back to Exodus 33. If what we've said already about this Lord, this angel of the Lord is the Lord, and this angel of the Lord is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, appearing to Moses in a pre-incarnate revelation of himself. This is what some would call a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ, long before the incarnation, to be sure. And so, what you have in this text is God's presence with ancient Israel and with you, my friends, God's presence with you being Jesus Christ. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, when you read those words, the later words of Jesus Christ to the multitudes might ring in your ears. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. You see, here is an echo, if you will, of the words of Jesus Christ. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. It is Jesus Christ who travels with the people of Israel. It is Jesus Christ who goes with the people of Israel. And it is Jesus Christ who is with you. He is your Emmanuel. God with us. That's the idea. Now, to confirm this, you see, I'm trying to lead you into this truth, step by step. And to confirm what we're saying here, keep your finger there in Exodus 33 and turn back to the New Testament now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the first four verses. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about ancient Israel. And he says, to the church at Corinth, and through the church at Corinth to you and to me, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. When the people of God, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were led by Moses. And Moses followed the cloud, the glory cloud. And the people were, as it were, under the cloud. And when they passed through the sea, they were, as it were, under the sea. And they were baptized into Moses. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us, that is, they were united to Moses in this great salvation that God was working out through the leadership of Moses. And they all ate the same spiritual food in the wilderness. That is, God fed them. God fed them with quail, and God fed them with manna. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. And they were drinking from the spiritual rock. Interestingly enough, Paul is thinking about Moses bringing water from the rock. And this happened on two occasions. First in Exodus 17, at the beginning of the wilderness journey, Moses spoke to the rock and water came out. And at the end of journey, or close to the end of the journey, in Numbers chapter 20, it's recorded, Moses for a second time brought water from the rock. And this idea of water from the rock brackets the wilderness journey. And Paul is picking up on that. And he's saying the true rock symbolized by these rocks from which Moses brought water, the true rock is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with the people in the wilderness. You see that this is what Paul is saying. And all drank from the same spiritual drink, and they were drinking from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was with the people in the wilderness. This is what we learn as we properly understand the Scriptures. And I say to you again, my friends, Jesus Christ is with you. This is part of the profound truth, you see. And verse 14 again, and he said, my presence shall go with you, and I shall give you rest. Don't send us, Lord, unless your presence in Jesus Christ goes with us. This was the burden that Moses had. And so I say to you, dear friends, God's grace is Christ's presence with you. Verses 15 and 16. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? How is it that it is known that you as individuals or you as a corporate body have found favor or found grace in the sight of God. It is by the presence of Jesus Christ with you and in you. Paul goes so far as to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we do not have Jesus Christ with us, what hope in the end is there for us? And the fact that Jesus Christ is with you, imagine this now. The great God of glory, in the form of Jesus Christ, is with you. In the Old Testament, the people of God were marked out by the presence of the glory cloud. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus Christ is the glory of God. And we learn that Jesus Christ came and tabernacled, this is the language, and tabernacled among us. He is the representation of glory among us. And so, this presence comes to us not because you and I are anything good, nor because we deserve to have the presence of that glory in any way. No. It's because of God's free grace and mercy. I'm struck again by Daniel's prayer. Because what does Daniel pray? He says, not on the basis of any righteousness that we have do I come to you, Father, but on the basis of your mercy and on the basis of your compassion do I come and pray to you and bring my petition. I think Daniel there clearly shows us that he understands what we call justification by grace through faith. That's his understanding of how he stands before God. And that's our standing before God too. Not by merit, but by grace. And Jesus Christ in our presence is God's grace. And so we come to this proposition then at the end of the outline. Christ's presence separates you from all others. Verse 16 again. Moses asks a rhetorical question. Is it not by your going with us so that we and your people may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth? Is it not by your going with us, Lord, that we are distinguished from all others upon the face of the earth? And what's the answer to the rhetorical question? Yes. Yes. What is the great and profound mark of the true church of Jesus Christ? His vital presence in and among His people. And you and I would cry out, or we ought to cry out, just like Moses. Is it not by your going with us, I and your people, that we may be distinguished from all other people who are on the face of the earth? Yes. Yes. And this is where it comes back to this tension and this balance that I began with this afternoon. You and I are called to live before God in particular ways, in accordance with the Word of God and with the commandments of God. And why would you ever consider living in accordance with God's commandments? Well, Jesus puts it this way: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is, if you have had a vision of Jesus Christ, if you have come to know Jesus Christ, there is a different principle at work in your life, a principle which is different from the principle that guides those who are in the world. It is the principle of the Holy Spirit. And that principle, born in you by a revelation of Jesus Christ, impels you to live differently, to read the Bible, to pray, to follow the various commandments of God. And so the deeper principle is not so much what we do, but who it is who has come to reveal himself to us: Jesus Christ, the Lord. I think it's striking that in our circles, if you would ask the question, what distinguishes the Reformed Presbyterian Church from other churches? What would you say? Well, the first thing that hits you in the face when you enter one of our worship services is no instruments, psalmody. There you go. This is what we do. Okay, good. And why do we do these things? Because we have come to see Jesus Christ in the Bible. And because of that revelation of Jesus Christ in the Bible, we live differently. We worship differently. And so let's not get the cart before the horse and think that our doing accomplishes something. Rather, it's first of all who it is who has loved us and manifested himself to us. The great mark of the church is the presence of Jesus Christ in her midst. May it be so in your life here in Bloomington Reformed Presbyterian Church. Let's pray. Father, we're glad that we can speak about these things. And we're glad that you reveal yourself to us by your word and spirit. And we ask, Father, that This will continue to be the case. And we pray with Moses, if we have found favor in your sight, O God, if we have found grace in your sight, how can we go forth except you be with us? Grant that it might be the case. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.